turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 139, starting at verse 23. Psalm 139, starting at verse 23. And I would like to preach to you this morning about the way. Let me say this to all of our guests. We are thrilled to have you this morning, and we hope that you will become a regular and just continue to come and be with us. We would be honored to have you. Let me also say that there are several people this morning who are here for the first time in a good while because of health issues and various issues. And if I name names, I may miss someone, but we are glad you are here this morning. We're glad you are back this morning in the house of the Lord. And may the Lord bless you, each one of you. So glad to see each one this morning. How many have the day off tomorrow? Very good. Every day. Well, very good. Most everyone has the day off. I won't get any hurry. No, I'm just kidding. You know I have to get to a good cookout here in a few minutes. But I want to start a sermon this morning, The Way. And then next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I believe that I will probably preach on The Waymaker. So this morning, I want to talk about The Way. And next Sunday morning, Lord willing, I want to talk about The Waymaker. So, The Way. We've always tried to find the way. We've gone from maps. Now think about this. We've gone from maps and magnifying glasses to MapQuest and printed directions to try to find the way. But now we have gone to built-in GPS systems on our dashboards or apps on our cell phones that verbally tell us in real time the way. We have no excuse anymore to be lost. Yet I still hear those words many times, recalculating. Now even the most directionally challenged person can find his or her way to any place at any time. You could say that where there is a will to go someplace, there is a way. A hiker or a hunter may also know a little something about a way or a proven path. Many times they will follow a proven or a worn path to a beautiful view, or maybe to a strategically placed deer stand someplace. While navigating in nature, it's very important, it's imperative many times to stay on the known path or the proven path. But just as there are hiking trails and hunting paths and even interstate highways that help us travel between state to state, there is also an established way. There is an established way of living our lives. There is a proven way to live through and by God's word and through and by God's son. And so our text today, if you wouldn't mind to go with me there, Psalm 139, starting at verse 23 and verse 24, and then maybe just stay right there. We want to explore a few more scriptures in that passage. But the psalmist here says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, know my anxieties," one translation says, "the depths of my thoughts and emotions." Verse 24, "and see if there is any wicked way," there's that word, way, "in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I say this morning, God, lead me in the way everlasting. I hope and pray before every one of us leave this building today that it will be our heart's cry and our mind set, God, lead me in your way. I want to remind us that God is most capable to lead us in the way everlasting. Would you look at the beginning of chapter 139? And here's the rationale. Here are the reasons why God is most capable to lead us in the way everlasting. Verse 1, "O Lord, you have searched me and have known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether." You see, God is most capable to lead us in the way everlasting. He has searched us. He has known us. He knows when I get up. He knows when I sit down. He knows when I'm deep in thought, and he knows when I'm shallow in thought, and he knows even when I am zoned out. God knows, and he understands my thought from afar off. He's acquainted. He's familiar with my ways. He knows the patterns of my life and how I am living day to day and hour by hour. He even knows the words on my tongue even before I speak those words. God is most capable to lead me in the way everlasting. Yes, amen. Look at verse 7. Not only does he know everything, but he is everywhere. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? And you go on and you look in that text, you see that God is in heaven. God is in hell even. God is in the uttermost parts of the sea. And God is even in the darkness and in the night. And I know as your pastor and as your shepherd that there are some of you, and we've even talked some of us about the hard times during the middle of the night. But I want you to know, verse 12b, the darkness and the light are both alike to God. And God is there even in the middle of the night, even in the dark places, God is there. God is most capable to lead me in the way everlasting. He knows everything. He is everywhere. And he knows more about myself than I even know. If you don't believe that, let me ask you a few questions. Have you ever seen your heart? No, but God has. That is the main organ in our bodies keeping us alive. Yet most of us have never seen or laid eyes on our heart, but God has seen our heart. Have you ever seen your liver or your gallbladder? Now, maybe you've seen a few gallstones they've taken out of the gallbladder and put in a little jar and let you take home, put on the shelf as a souvenir. I don't know. Let me ask you this. How many hairs are on your head? Even those who may be a little hair deprived, you don't even know how many hairs are on your head. But God knows the very hairs. He said the hairs on our head are numbered. God knows us. Do you know how many freckles you have? Did anybody get up this morning and take inventory and count your freckles? And you know how many freckles are on your face and on your body? But God knows. Look at verse 13. For you formed me in my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. God created us from the very beginning. He skillfully and handcrafted, if I could say it that way, designed you and me. And you are an original. In fact, you are a masterpiece because we are a piece, if you will, an extension of the master. He created us in his likeness and in his image. We must never forget that. If God can create me, then he can also lead me in the way everlasting. In fact, that was his purpose all along. Let's go down verse 16, the last part of verse 16. And in your book, they were all written. Now he's talking about the days of our lives. They were fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. God ordained my birth and God will ordain my death. My days are numbered. My life has already been determined by God. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. It's always wonderful to know that someone is thinking about you, but I assure us that God is always thinking about us. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. And when I am awake, I am still with you. God's thinking about us. He's numbered our days. He's purposed our days, and he is able to lead us in the way everlasting. And that leads us, as we've walked down through that chapter, it leads us right back to our text. Because it's a two-way street. God is doing his part. God is upholding his end of things. He has made a way. He has made us. He has destined us. He has purposed us. But the only way that we will ever reach that destiny, the only way we will ever find and fulfill the purpose of our lives is if we on our end decide to follow Christ. And not just a profession of following Christ, but a committed day by day following of Christ and following his way. So the psalmist writes then in verse 23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." If my heart is after something or someone, that is what I'm consumed with. That is who or what I am pursuing. And if my heart is after God, it's going to translate into the way I am living out my life. The psalmist wants God to help him ensure that he is on the way everlasting. He didn't want to lose his sense of direction. He didn't want to become disoriented. I want to look at this word for just a moment, disoriented. Have you ever been disoriented? Can you think of a time where you have been disoriented? Maybe you found yourselves in an unfamiliar place with a lot of unfamiliar faces. Maybe it was the first day of school in a new place. Maybe you came into a large parking lot and you forgot where you parked. Disoriented. Praise God for panic buttons. That's why they're there, right? So we can find our cars in the parking lot. Maybe you've had a medication or an illness that has caused you at times to become confused or disoriented. Or maybe you're like me and you just got off the teacup ride at Dollywood and you feel quite disoriented. I hate that ride. I won't go any further with describing that, but it doesn't feel well. Disoriented, losing one's bearings, not knowing whether one is coming or whether one is going. We often hear it said this way, the rat race of this life. And so many today, I'm afraid, are disoriented and we just don't know, are we coming, are we going, and why are we doing what we're doing? We can lose our direction if we aren't careful. We can lose our sense of purpose if we aren't careful. And also there are times in desperation, we can even lose our will to live. But in those times, we must remind ourselves of our Creator God. First and foremost, of his stability and his faithfulness. God will never be disoriented. He is fully established. And he has created us for such a time as this. God desires to give us back our direction in our lives. If you're here this morning and you just don't feel a direction, you don't feel a sense of purpose, I want to remind you with all love and all confidence that God can give us back our direction and our sense of purpose, and God can make us live lives that are worth living. I don't want to be just like maybe an inmate in a prison cell that just X's off the days because we're looking to a release date and we're just getting through the day to get someplace else. But may we be able to capture and redeem the time of our lives every single day. How do we do this? We got to get back in the scriptures. Amen. There is power in the scriptures. There are principles in the scriptures. This is God breathed, God inspired, and this will direct our lives. His word. How do we get back oriented? We pray until the Holy Spirit moves in us and upon us. I still believe in the touch and the presence and the guiding power of the Holy Spirit. I still believe that Jesus sent to us the promise, the Holy Spirit, and one of those promises, he would be our guide. We pray until the Holy Spirit confirms in our hearts and moves upon our lives. And I still believe he is willing and more than able to do that. We must get ourselves God-oriented instead of disoriented. May we come back to a place of orientation. Why do we need to do this? We need to live the way, but we need to show the way. And there are people in our lives who depend upon seeing something out of us. As professing Christians, our families need to see us living out the way. Our coworkers need to see us living out the way. All those who may be around us need to see us living out the way. We must explain the way. We must need to know how to verbalize the truth of God's way. If ever there's a time in this world that there is a need for shining examples, for salt, for light, for leaven in the world today, it is now. Proverbs 14:12 says this. Here's what's happening in our world. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. Don't you know that there are so many today living their own way, and they're good people, they're good moral people, and the way seems right to them, but they don't know the way of Jesus Christ. And there is no other way to be saved. We can't live any old way. Now, right there would be a good place for a big old amen. As a Christian, we can't live any old way. We can't decide what's right and what's wrong. I'm not the judge and I'm not the jury, but the scripture plainly tells me what is right and what is sin. We don't decide that. We can't have situational truth. Truth that is relevant to a certain situation. Well, it's okay because of this, or I will explain it away because of that, and I will excuse it because of this person. No, right is still right, wrong is still wrong. Sin is sin, and right is right. Righteousness is righteousness, sin is sin. There is still a black and a white. There is not a gray area when it comes to sin. It's not multiple choice. It's not essay. Not short answer. It's true or false, right or wrong. I want to tell you a little quick story that shows me we're living in a era of disorientation from the truth. The other day, or I guess it was a few weeks ago by now, I looked at a young lady and I was intrigued by her t-shirt. It was a teenager. And it took me a second to understand what the shirt was saying. She had gender across the front of the shirt. Within the word gender, she had the words END, and they were magnified out in bold. It took me a few moments to realize what she was saying. Her shirt was saying, end gender. End gender. The way of this world has become more disoriented than we could ever imagine. You see, the basic foundational concepts of living, life itself is being challenged on the birth side and on the death side. But it is God who gives life and it is God who takes life. And it's not my right. The very foundational concepts of marriage are being challenged and undermined. Like we would have never, ever believed. But I still believe that God intended for one man to cleave to one wife. And the two shall become one. I still believe in life. I still believe in marriage. And I still believe that God created them male and female. And it is not my choice to decide or to gender identify with the other gender. I am who God made me to be. It is not my choice to become a woman or a woman to become a man. But the very foundational truths are being undermined and they're being eroded. And if we as the church do not stand up and pray up and speak up, Jesus Christ is still the way and the truth and the life. This word is still right, and this word will stand when the world is on fire. Amen. And let this word stand in my life, and let me stand upon this word. Amen. If it's popular, so be it. But if it's not popular, so be it. Because I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded in him. The truth. The Bible says, know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God lead us back to the way of everlasting life. Not only do we see disorientation, but we see disillusionment. And if we're not careful as Christians, as men and women of God, we can also sometimes become disillusioned. The world around us can cause us to be disillusioned. Situations, experiences, heartaches, stress can pull us down and we become disillusioned. Disillusioned is someone or something that one discovers to be less than what you once believed or thought it was going to be. Let me give you some examples about being disillusioned. When I see my gross pay on my paycheck, and then I look at my net pay on my paycheck, I can become disillusioned. How about you? I have that Uncle Sam somewhere, and he takes a lot of my money. Hadn't met him yet. How many knows you get a job, you get a promotion, you get an extra something, a bonus coming back or a tax refund, and you say, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to put some of it back. And when you get it and you start trying to spend the money, it never goes as far as we always thought it would. It's the deceitfulness of riches. The Bible talks about the deceitfulness of riches. If I put my hope in mammon, if I put my hope in money, if I put my hope in the things of this world, I'm not going to really have any hope at all. And I will become disillusioned. But when I put my hope and my trust in the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I put my hope in the one that shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus my Lord, then I can live in hope and in faith, and I can walk in the way and I won't become disillusioned. Sometimes we think making it. Sometimes we think if I just land this job or if I just get this title or if I just find this promotion. But then we get there and we find that it's not all that maybe it was cut out to be. You see, if we haven't resolved the things on the inside, nothing else will give us satisfaction on the outside. There is a way. There is a way everlasting through Jesus Christ. And sometimes mankind can cause us to be disillusioned. People can hurt us. People can betray us. People can be gone from our lives for any number of reasons. But I want to remind us that Scripture can help. Look with me, Psalm 27. Starting at verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I love these next two verses, though. Verse 13 said, I would have lost heart. Have you ever felt like you were about to lose heart and throw in the towel and just walk away from it? But the psalmist said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to tell you that I have to believe that sometime tomorrow when I get up and I start walking around, somewhere, somehow, I'm still going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And if I know that, I can keep walking, I can keep moving, I can keep getting up day after day. And I don't have to lose heart. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As a pastor, there are times that I talk to different ones about situations and we pray and we want God to move. And sometimes we just end up in a waiting pattern. And if I could just make everything right and I could just fix it for someone, I would do it right then. But I can tell all of us that we can wait upon the Lord and he will come through for you and me. Be of good courage. We don't have to be disoriented. We don't have to be disillusioned. And finally, we can't afford to be disengaged. One of the largest and most effective enemies or strategies, I guess I should say, that Satan is using against God's people in this world we live is distractions. There are many of a Christian who will not go out and willfully sin, who are not interested in backsliding, but we can become so distracted because of busyness, because of good things? Can I tenderly say this morning, if a good thing in our lives comes before God, it's becoming a bad thing. In fact, it's becoming a sin. We have to guard against that. Is that all right? Things that occupy too much of our time, things that keep us busy, things that keep us focused in the wrong way instead of the way of God and the everlasting way. But 2 Timothy 2:4 reminds me, and it's very appropriate scripture really here on Memorial Day weekend, I think as well. It says, no one engaged in warfare tangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. I thank God that those men at D-Day didn't have to go do something else on that day and they were distracted or they were back home somewhere, but they stayed the course. And many gave their lives and we remember them on this day. But as soldiers of the cross, may we be engaged in the warfare and in the battle that God has for us. And can I just bust all of our bubbles this morning? We are not in peacetime as Christians. We're in war.
Yes, we are.
Until we make it to the other side, until we are present with the Lord, what a day that's going to be. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be at total peace then. I'm also not saying that we can't have peace on the inside. But I want to promise you that if we have turned from darkness to light, there is an enemy and enemies plural who have a target on your back and my back. And until we get to the other side, we are at war. May we stay engaged in the warfare. Verse 5, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And he doesn't win unless he crosses the finish line. These are the rules, and heaven is the finish line. We must stay engaged. The musicians would come this morning. We're going to close this out. Stay engaged. Stay engaged. You see, the journey is just as important as the destination. Can I say that one more time? The journey that we are on is just as important as the destination we are hoping to arrive. Day by day, week by week, these moments are important. May we stay in the way everlasting. Godly principles within this book, every practical aspect of our lives, we can find godly principles to build upon and to live upon. They're proven, and they will produce lasting fruits in our lives. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to ask a few questions to us, and we're going to have some time and pray and search our hearts before we leave here this morning. Here's a question for you. I can't answer it. Am I decided, and am I dedicated? Have I made a decision towards Christ, and am I dedicated to walk in the path? Am I disoriented this morning? Have I just come in here this morning, and I'm just confused, and I'm just not where I want to be, and I can't figure out some things? Am I disoriented? Am I disillusioned? Has somebody let me down? Has the church let me down? Has somebody who I love let me down? Am I disillusioned? Am I disengaged? Am I distracted? Do I have to look at myself honestly this morning and say, you know, God, I have let other things become more important than my walk with you. I have let other things come more important than my family. I think our priorities ought to always be God, family, church. Are those in line in our lives this morning? I want to tell you, with all assurance, with all confidence, and with all love, you don't have to be disoriented. We don't have to be disillusioned. We don't have to be disengaged. But we can come to a place in our lives where we are decided and determined and dedicated that we're going to serve God. And we're going to serve Him faithfully. 2 Samuel 22, 31 is a good verse for those who know the Lord already. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust him. Psalm 1:6 is another good verse for those who already know the Lord. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 139, 23 is a good scripture for those of us who know the Lord, but we feel like maybe the Holy Spirit is tugging on us a little bit this morning. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. But you say, well, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, good news for you. I have a scripture for you, or actually two. Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who will find it. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that we can't live the way the world is living. We can't go with the flow and still go to heaven. Amen. That's the broad way. But there is a narrow way, and few shall find it. But we are here this morning hearing the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here this morning and we are able to find the way. It's not too late. It's not too late. There's breath in our bodies. There's cognizant mind and thought in our head. We can think, we can live, we can respond. And if we don't know the way, we can make a decision this morning. You may be like Thomas, who said, Lord, how do we know the way? I have a scripture, John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. How do I get started, Pastor? Just go to the Father through Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. He knows your heart. He knows your heart's cry. He died for you. He died for me. He died to make intercession for us and to tear down any barrier between us and God. And we come to him with a repentant heart and a mind that says, God, I want to know you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will not turn us away. But Pastor, after I come to know him, I don't know if I know how to walk in the way. He'll guide you. He'll keep you. If you fall down, he'll pick you up. That's what grace is for. I have good news this morning. We can serve God. We can walk in the way. We can walk in the truth. We can walk in the life. And I have one final reminder for all of us. Psalm 27:13-14. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me all over this building? Would you just search your heart this morning? Would you take a little time just as an individual? And would you make sure, would you make certain this morning that you're in the way everlasting? If there's sin that needs to be confessed, confess it to him. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you feel like you've been disillusioned or disoriented or lost your way or apathetic and disengaged, confess it to him and say, Lord, help me to firm up my steps. Firm up my steps. I promise you, the Christian life is a life worth living. I cannot promise you a bed of roses. I cannot promise you that everything will always be perfect. I can't promise you that everything will be hunky-dory. I cannot promise you that you won't have persecution or criticism for serving Christ. And I can't promise you that there won't be sacrifices that you'll need to make. But I can promise you that it all will be worth it. I can promise you that. As we sing this song, if you need prayer, if you want to receive Christ, this altar is open to you. In fact, this altar is always open to you. But let's search our hearts this morning. If you need to pray, if you need to come and accept Christ, the altar is open. But before we leave here, make sure you're sheltered in the arms of God.